Brought to you by Face to Face Games.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
Ready?
I'm always ready.
You're never ready. Dude, I'm the one that's always ready. I have stuff laid out for days. I'm already 2 weeks in the future.
Are you kidding me? Right. Look at my show notes.
Your show notes were a book this week. Okay. So, all right. All right, everybody. Welcome to another amazing episode of Hype Club. I'm Maddie Studios.
I'm Tony Awesome Sauce.
Also known as Tony. And this week, we had a whole thing planned for you guys. And then Sunday and Monday happened, and basically, I don't know, somebody decided to just drop Amonkhet spoilers and Modern Master stuff. So we're going to derail a slight tad to talk about those, because I think we have to. So let's jump into it right away, because, wow. Modern Masters, let's start here. We got pack art, box art, and it looks like new Snapcaster art, which is, in my opinion, pretty polarizing already. It just got spoiled. I don't know why they choose in their marketing to do things the way they do them. It's just so confusing. I would never do it this way. But it is what it is. So what do you think? Is this Snapcaster on the cover there?
I like to joke with a couple people. I was like, hey, look, they put Lazav on the cover.
I thought it was actually Shang Tsung. If you look closely, it looks like the guy from Mortal Kombat. Oh, the okay. Evil guy. Yeah, he is, right? Shang Tsung, yeah. It does. Like, if you zoom in, it's actually an Asian guy. It's not a white guy. People are like, it's an old white man. I'm like, no, it's not. It's actually an Asian guy. But anyway.
Well, I mean, by that logic, it must be Snapcaster Mage.
I mean, okay. We all know what we all know. We think we know. Who knows? Wizards could just pull the rug. Maybe Liliana's not in the set. To me, it's weird. I would have just... Okay, new art. I love it. You know, that's what they do. They usually put the new art on the packs. If you look at Modern Masters 1, we had Sword, Shackles. And then they put those arts on there because it's like new art. I think that's great. Like, for me personally, you should put new art. You should never put old art. I don't know. That's just me, right?
That's kind of weird on a Master set, though, Maddie, because, like, maybe you want the... Like, okay, for example, let's look at
Modern Masters. If it's iconic old art, yes.
Well, for example, when they changed the art of Dark Confidant, well, yeah. And they put Skrillex Bob on the booster packs, now people recognize that as Skrillex Bob, and, like, that's cool. But if they had to put Dark Confidant on the Modern Masters booster packs, maybe things were different?
They did, though. Bob is on the booster packs. That's what I'm saying. Like,
But they put new art Bob. They didn't put the old iconic
right.
Bob
no,
art,
well,
art on.
No, but I believe, like, to sell Master sets, you have to have new art.
And I'm saying, like, what about the people that are playing the Master sets to get, you know, those original copies? Like, yeah, you're talking from, you know, the newer player journey.
I get it. But that adds collectability. To make these Master sets unique moving forward, new art is chase. It's like alternate cover art in comics, right? They have to do that so that it isn't just, oh, I already got those, right? Like, imagine if Snapcaster is old art. I would be like, that's cool, but I got my playset, so I'm not buying any.
Yeah, that's
right?
Weird.
So, but
I hear definitely something different on the ground floor of...
polarized.
That old art is chase art.
100% agreed that there is a segment of the community that loves first editions, right? Whatever the first thing that came out, that's the pimpest thing you can do.
Right here.
Yeah, and I'm on the fence, right? Bob's, I love my Skrillex. I love that art. I think it's 100 times better than the old one, but I respect both. You know, Goyf, again, I love the new art.
The new art
that
for
Goyf
is, like, the best, actually.
It really is. But I look at that Snapcaster art, and my first experience was, I didn't even know it was Snapcaster, that's a huge communication point, because I was like, is that a Delver of Secrets? And people are like, oh, I think it's actually Snapcaster. So that there was any confusion at all. Is not good. Now, when new Bob art was spoiled, if I remember, every single person was like, that's Bob. Like, everyone knew it was Dark Confidant. So I feel like it's interesting the way they did it. Now, I know they had Soccer Snapcaster Mage as the GP promo, which, I don't know, that didn't work out well. So maybe they just, do the opposite of that, right? And that's cool. I don't want to, like, crap on them, you know, for doing new art. I think new art's great. But art is subjective, and if you don't like it, you don't like it. But the one thing I do want to talk about is we got three pack arts. Grizzlebrand, Stoic Angel, and...
Domri Raid.
Domri Rade. So, or Rade, whatever. I don't want to be negative about it, but that's kind of a letdown, man. We just had Grizzlebrand as a GP promo. Like, it did not need another... I don't know. For me... we didn't need a reprint. There's so many copies out there. That card is like $11. Like,
yeah, I'm concerned about there being more Grizzlebrand and more, like
Domri. Like who was but, asking no,
the,
for that?
Domri's actually pretty sweet. And to be fair, he's one of the best underutilized planeswalkers. Yeah. Like if you ask Monkey Mealing, like if there are like there are so many Gruul planeswalkers. You know, like there's Xenagos, there's Domri,
Sarkhan,
there's
we got lots. I get it.
There's a million Nissas too, right? Just in green, but Domri is one of the few that actually like could come down on turn two in your Elvish Mystic deck, and then his ultimate was what the emblem that gives all your creatures like double strike, haste, trample.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
Like that's actually an unbeatable emblem. So I remember his plus being like maybe sometimes you draw a card. But the fact that it can come down on turn two just means that it has that going for it that most planeswalkers will never have going for them. It's almost impossible to cast a Saheeli Ray on turn two.
No, yeah, you're right. But here's my point. I get that, you know, not everything can be Liliana's and Snapcasters. So that's fine. But my concern, though, is, hey, community, or potential customer, here's the very first thing. You guys have been waiting. We haven't put any spoils out. We're going to leak the first thing, and it's obviously has expectation errors, you know? And I talk about this all the time. Like, they're just now realizing we got to put full art lands in all these sets because people are, it's just makes the game infinitely better. There's no reason to just devalue and hold it back for some dumb reason. Just give it to the game, make the game better. And I think, though, with pack art, especially on Modern Masters sets that are $10, for me, I would have been like, what's the art? Well, what are we putting in the set? What are the three most iconic cards? And I know people will say, oh, it's planned 2 years out. You can't know. Yes, you can know, dude. Yes, these are not standard sets. These are master sets. You know Liliana Snapcaster, Cavern of Souls. Cavern of Souls art's not the best. It's not recognizable. So, Snap, Lily, boom. Those are my two packs already. You don't even need to know anything. You know those are the two. Then you know, hey, what else do we got? Goblin Guide. Easy, easy call. If that's in the set, you put that on the set. Here's another one. Damnation. If Damnation's in the set, to not put that on pack art is foolish. It's just foolish, right? So, someone will say, well, art directors are sitting behind the scenes and they don't know what art's going where. And it has nothing to do with art direction. I'm sorry. It has to do with what new pieces of artwork did we commission that look good? And two, what are the most iconic things that are selling the set? Right? Force of Will, new Tyrese Nelson art is the face of Eternal Masters for a reason. It's a chase card and it's got amazing new art. So if you have chase cards with amazing new art, it should be pack art. So Snapcaster, fine, I get it. It's probably pack art as well. And it's the face of the box. I have no problem with that besides, you know, art direction on it. But like Stoic Angel and Domin Ride should not be on packaging.
What I'm hearing you're saying, Maddie, is that Stoic Angel and Domri Raid should have been Smuggler's They're Copter and Reflector Mage.
If you want to troll, right? Look, man, that is Modern Masters 2019. Okay, so don't even start. I'm just saying, like,
they'll just be the band masters.
Yeah, I just think, like, there's so many very obvious things that in an insulated bubble that they're in their marketing teams, they just completely miss. Because the average player is, like, to them, they're not worried about, like, the same things an average player is. Like, me and you are like, this is a lot of money. So to give $10 for a pack, what's in it? Like, that's our first question, right? Not even what's the new art. It's what do I get? So, you know, communicate that. Put Liliana Vale in the package so that a kid walking in with his grandma's like, look, Liliana, ooh, we could have a chance to get that. So, anyways, we might get it anyways. Who knows? More is coming. But first impression of Modern Masters, not good. I'd give it like a 5 out of 10. I'm not excited about it.
We're back to the cardboard boxes.
Yeah, well, are we? No. I think it's actually that was just a bad mock-up. We're going to be at the foil.
Are you kidding me?
We're not in like the paper shells.
Well, then maybe that wasn't Snapcaster Mage.
No, I think it is. I would put money on it, but who knows? Who knows? Whatever. The very thing that I find interesting too is they went with blue again. So like, are they branding like blue is Modern Masters, green will be Eternal Masters as like color for boxes? Which I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatever, man. It's all good. Now, let's talk about what was even more exciting. Because that is like, we all know it's coming. It'll be what it is, right? Even if we're going to fail or it won't. Almancat, full art lands. I got my Pyramid Plains. It's not exactly what I was looking for, but dude, full art lands in Almancat. To me, this is awesome. There's nothing about it that I can say that's negative because they're putting full art lands in the pack, right? This gas.
Yep.
Let's start.
What's your favorite one, Maddie?
Okay, Plains. The Plains is hands down perfect because, like, the most iconic imagery of the plain is the desert, the sun. Like, that's it. It's just got it all. And in foil, like, I can just see what that's going to look like. It's going to be great.
I think the best one's the Swamp, actually.
What? See, yeah. I would have ranked Swamp last. Wow.
What?
Okay.
Oh, man.
Dude. Okay. I have two opinions on this. One, okay. I'm a fan of monochromatic land art, and I know certain people are not. But when I say monochromatic, that doesn't mean every land set needs to be like completely boring looking, right? Good artists can play within a monochromatic palette and make it look good. My point is, though, if I'm holding a green, predominantly green card, it's a forest. That's what I think we need. You know, it's clear communication. You don't need to read the card or look at the card or look for a forest symbol. You know, it's all green. It's got a forest. I think that's very good for game mechanics and game understanding of states of play. But besides that point, swamps, for me, they did the sun with the bolus horns in every one of the arts, which is cool.
Well, apparently when you're on Almancat, if you look at any sun, you can see bolus horns.
Well, I mean, I get it that it's so large. It's kind of cool. I like that. That's sci-fi-ish. Yeah. But for the swamp, I would have done a night scene. That's what they should have done at night. No sun, just the moon. And well, have everything all dark and like purples and blues. It would have looked so good.
You're obsessed with purple swamps, Maddie.
Because purple is swamps. I'm just saying. Purple is life. Have you ever seen that Shrek video, Shrek? Purple is swamps. Anyways, don't Google that. Let's rank. For me, I would rank it as plains is the best. Island, second. Forest, mountain, swamp.
Okay, mine goes swamp, okay. Mountain, forest, island, plains.
So the reverse, actually nice.
Backwards.
Literally the exact backwards. We agree on the mid ground. That's fine.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the one thing that's very interesting. It appears, right, that Magic in general is moving towards squeezing the stone a little bit, like we've seen, like, hey, masterpieces, oh, they gotta get the money, they gotta keep us exciting. And you know, like they say, the more times they say, hey, something that's exciting now is in every set, it's less exciting. So the diminishing returns keep happening, and they have to keep, boosting what we get to feel excited. So full art lands every set from now on feels like they're kind of doing it because they're putting this bizarre new rarity of they're making these lands, which at first I had to read a couple times, and I think the way I understand it is they are chase versions of the regular lands. So for people that are like, we're not getting regular lands. Yeah, you're going to get your half lands, the standard lands. And the full art versions will just be one in every four packs, right?
One in almost a draft.
Yeah. And then they didn't mention if they're foil or not. So hopefully there's foil versions. But I imagine, unfortunately, these are going to be $20 cards, right? Like a foil full art is going to be $20.
I would assume that these will only come in foil.
If they're only in foil, then that's awesome. First of all, that's really good. I don't think so, right? Because they want to make that like next level rarity. But that's cool. If it is, that's actually very good. And I think it's just like the number one reason everyone said of why we need full art lands is they tell such a story. You know, like when you're playing it, it feels like Almancat now. The lands should tell a story. And an interesting side note to Magic Digital Next and a couple of things we've learned. If you notice on the mock-ups, even though they're mock-ups of whatever this is, and we'll talk about that later, But they're moving the cards. They're getting rid of text boxes. They're getting rid of flavor text because what they're trying to do is reduce information to make the screen more readable and to save real estate because, you know, board states get out of control. And if you look carefully, their land mock-ups are just full art lands.
Well, there's,
which is another reason that could be coming every
season. There's no way that this can actually be true, but, you know, maybe they're trying to clean up the text box so the cards actually look playable on MDN.
Yeah, and that is exactly what I'm saying, right? Like, it's interesting, but the other thing we got from Magic, or not Magic, Amonkhet, is we've got spoilers for Gods, and it looks like at least the Planeswalker versions or the Planeswalker deck versions, Lily and Gideon will be in there.
Yeah, the art on those look cool, and it's interesting to see the, like, textless mock-up, but there are some in another language that have a bit of text on them.
Yeah, we did get a little bit. And then the other thing we got is, and then we got something else, too, is we got two other pieces of artwork for Gideon and Lily. So I have a feeling like they're going to be in the set as set versions as well. And that new Liliana artwork, as you've seen by our banner, is just probably the best Liliana artwork I've ever seen. That is just, even with the weird foot that's going on, it's just so good looking. My goodness.
It's because she's in a purple dress, Maddie. You're already in love.
Dude, purple. I have the purple disease, man. I don't know what it is, man. I go back to Dave Chappelle days and purple drink. I just, I need my purple drink. I love that color, man. If Magic ever made a purple, a sixth color, a seventh or eighth color, or whatever one, I made it purple, dude, I'm never playing another deck. I don't care what that deck does. All purple all the time. But what's interesting is a lot of people have been speculating because we've gotten story snippets and a few things here of what the story is. And we got kind of confirmation because we knew this before, but like, what is Amonkhet going to be? And with the five new god artwork, which we have no idea what their colors are, but I feel like five story points are going to be, hey, battle with these gods, you know, level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then let's face bullets for the final. That really feels like what this set's going to be about. And I don't know, man. I think Lily betrays the Gatewatch in the end.
I was about to say, there's got to be a twist here. You're not an 80s kid without a twist.
No, man. This will be the most 80s twist ever, right? Oh, look, bad guy who's good now turns bad again? No, go figure.
Who knew the Joker was actually evil?
Yeah. It's more like Starscream joining the Autobots only to betray them again, but whatever, right?
Damn I think you, it's Starscream.
Cool. Yeah, really. I think, though, like, we're going to get our first, like, well, not our first, but I think we'll get a very big death. Someone's dying. One of the Gatewatch has got to go. This whole thing's too big and it's getting way too repetitive. And I know a lot of people why they use the Gatewatch as entry points for people, but it just feels like the stories are the same all the time. It's like, oh, here's the Gatewatch again. What are they doing? And someone who made that great post about the Avengers, you know, what if every Avengers movie was like this? You wouldn't watch them, right? So
hey, maybe this is where we get Elspeth back from the dead as Bolas's slave.
That is a stretch. I haven't heard that one yet. I think Lily's going to kill Gideon. That's where I think it goes, but we shall see, right? Yeah, and then, because then it sets up the whole Gideon, like, going back to Theros when he dies and saving Elspeth.
And then he meets Elspeth. All right.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be a future block, Return to Theros. But overall, like, we've got gods again, right? So everyone wants us to talk about, okay, if gods are back, what are we getting in Masterpieces? Are we getting gods? Like, I don't think so. I have a feeling like we're gonna get if the gods are in there, we'll get those versions of Masterpieces. But do we get Theros gods? I don't think so.
I can't picture one of the sets being 30 Masterpiece gods.
No, I don't think we'll get 30. I think we're gonna get like 10 this time. I think they fully realize that's too many. That's way too many, right? So let's say we get the 5 set gods and maybe what, 5 other cards, maybe 10, maybe.
Well, right? do we know if there's going to be another 40-something Masterpieces in each set?
No, well, what we know is the last time Mero mentioned it, he said that the number is independent of the set. So he's like, they obviously juiced it for Kaladesh because they wanted to hype everybody up. And Artifacts
were easy,
so much death.
For sure.
Right, yeah. But like when we get to the next set, they've made very clear, at least on Blogatog, that they're only putting cards that make sense thematically in the set. So, Damnation feels like, to me, that sounds like something that could happen on Amonkhet. I feel like that card might not be in Modern Masters. It's going to be here. It does set a very dangerous trend to what that would do in standard, but looking at the decks we have right now, I don't know if it would do, like, what, who would run it? Maybe, like, Aether, Marvel? Like, Marvel would run Damnation? What? Because Black-Green Snack's not running Damnation.
Yeah, kills all this stuff, it, right? It's weird. Yeah, like, you
Shaheely is not running it.
But then
maybe
you still
vehicles?
Can't beat vehicles.
Right? Yeah, it's weird. And it's a 4-mana Wrath, which they know, we know they hate. But who knows? Maybe as a masterpiece only, that's kind of like throwing the ball to us, but that's not reducing the price, man. That's going
to
do nothing.
Yeah, that feels like it has to be an MM17 card.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. It's just very interesting, you know, to see where we're going. Now, we got the, what was the teaser we got on the two Planeswalker deck cards again? Because there was like some spoiled information. What were their names?
Oh, I don't remember what they were in English. Like, the Liliana was like Manipulator of the Dead or something like that. That was poorly translated.
By the way, the art of Lily with the mummies as her slaves is insane.
Yeah,
if you've seen
pretty awesome.
The full art version is out on Twitter. You got to find it because mummies are back, people. We're going to get Mummy Tribal, man. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so awesome.
Oh, man, the Cyclopean mummy or whatever. Oh, man, that card's so old. I love that.
Yeah. Now that we got that too, the one thing that was interesting, I don't know if you had time. I know I had a bit of time to watch coverage over the weekend, and I watched it all. All right, good. So I was watching. I watched it all. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
It wasn't standard. I liked it. So we got GB Vancouver, which was pretty cool. And then we had the SCG event. So really interesting to see Modern be really energized. I found it was a lot fresher than normal. And I don't know if that's because of, like, Aether Revolt, but I feel it is. Like, a lot of new cards were breaking decks there.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Renegade Rallier, we saw Fatal Push. Like, these are cards that we sort of expected to define these Fetchland-based formats, and they did. Now, the interesting part was how Jerry T and crew actually broke the format this time and, you know, put three of their six members or whatever into the top eight. Including the eventual winner, and you know,
their
deck was really, really, really good.
It's that deck. So Death Shadow, Green Black Rock, almost Jund. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's Death Shadow aggro.
Yeah, it's not really like so. A lot of people were confusing. Is it Death Shadow the old version? No, it's nothing like that.
It's not the combo at all.
Yeah, you're not trying to go off with a Death Shadow. You're essentially playing eight super big bashers, Goyf and Death Shadow, and you're just trying to smash their face and kill anything in the way. But you also, that deck looks to me to be probably the hardest deck to pilot in a long time because you play that razor-thin life game and one wrong move and you're dead. Like, that deck looks like it will punish people that don't know how to play it. Like, I would not pick that deck up and go to an FNM with it without like 50, 60 reps in with it. It looks like you would screw up a lot.
I wouldn't want to face Burn.
Yeah. Oh, I would too, right? I have all the cards soon. I'm like, ooh, maybe I should. I'm like, no, I got to get reps. Got to get my reps in. But I mean, me and you have been on Brews. Oh, we'll talk about it in Hype 3, but we have Brews and crazy things we're trying to do, in Modern. But what did you think overall of like, the state of Modern right now? Are we out of that, like, I don't know. I don't want to say stalemate version it was in there for the last 3-4 months, but feels interesting.
My experience from this Modern is that not that it was better or fixed or not broken anymore or not loved or any of all of the things that it could be, and more just so people were back to
play.
Yeah, they were back to willing to admit that they enjoyed playing a format that has been arguably broken since Eldrazi Winter.
Yeah.
Like, since Chalice of the Void on turn one started to become a thing, even though it wasn't at this tournament where it would have been very, very good. The format's sort of been like in need of repairs for a little while, and it's nice to see that, basically speaking, a fair deck and like in droves was just the best deck for the tournament. Now, the thing that is still challenging with Modern in general is that it's a format based around sideboard and hate cards. And
yeah,
if that's
it is.
If that's not something that you enjoy interacting with, then maybe this isn't the format for you right now. You know, and
yeah,
I don't think
exactly.
it's going to be like that forever, but it's like saying to somebody, if you don't like playing with or against Miracles, you probably shouldn't be playing Legacy right now. Not to say that you shouldn't work on a Legacy deck and you shouldn't like enjoy going to FNM and all of those things, because you should definitely do those things. However, if you're going to go to a Legacy GP and you are not prepared to play against Miracles, or that's not something you enjoy, you're not going to have a good time, because everyone's going to play Miracles. So Modern's the same way. If you can't stand playing against Blood Moon or Chalice of the Void or Rest in Peace or whatever, and that's not to say that your deck can't beat it, is if you don't enjoy interacting with those cards, then currently this format isn't for you. And that's why we have so many formats.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. When I first built Green Machine and I tried to, you know, budget crush Modern, because when I was getting into it, there was certain decks and it was blue mostly and twin. And we built that deck to be like, okay, we have a 8-card sideboard plan against blue decks, because I know I can't beat everything, but I don't want to lose to twin. And it was just so good to board into 4 Mistcutter Hydras and Thrun and just bash the living crap out of them, you know? But I wasn't trying to beat everyone. And Burn was a hard matchup. And there were certain matchups that, you know, you just had to deal with. And I think, like you said, having more formats means you don't leave a format and never come back. You just say, currently, I'm not that excited to play. So I'm going to go play this format where I get a different interaction. But it, like in Legacy, if you don't want to lose to Miracles, make sure you build a deck that doesn't lose to Miracles. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, be prepared. When you go, be prepared. And yeah, maybe you'll get blown out by Dredge because you weren't ready. But that's the game. You know, that's just, you have to look at what Magic is. There is no Magic deck that beats everything, because those deck gets banned. And there are decks that are bannable right now in a lot of formats that do things that are really unfair. Like, Infect really is getting to the point where it isn't a fun deck to play against, nor is it really that easy to interact with. There's a lot of like ways to stop what you want to do against it. So it's just one of those things. We like Frontier for the casual, like, I don't need to go so hardcore in, because there's a lot of gameplay. You know, and maybe Modern just doesn't have that. It's like it punishes you. You know, turn 1, 2, 3, you're not doing what you should be doing, you're dead. You know, Frontier, oh, what do you got going on? What's going on? Let's interact. Let's kill this. Ooh, let's kill your Jace. So now what do you got? You know, so there's a bit of that. And not to say that any format is always the same, because it's just always going to be updated. But I feel like Wizards of the Coast in general is releasing sets that have more interaction for older formats. I really feel like, because every time I fill that survey out in the extra comment box, I write, make more cards for Eternal, like, in bold, all caps, if I could change it to red, I would. Like, make sure you put cards that have power levels that, like, interact, you know? And we did see some interesting stuff. We saw Brain in the Jar. Brain in the Jar, man.
Yo, that deck was sweet.
That deck looked like a glass cannon if I ever saw one. But, wow, was it cool to see, like, I'll draw 4 cards and make 4 birds. You know, like,
yeah,
what?
For one mana.
I mean, that's cool. And the fuse cards in general, all of them, there's a lot of gas there. And with Expertise, I think we've just begun to scratch the surface. Like I was saying on Twitter, Expertise in the long run are going to just be like, they will be part of, once they find the right shell to sit in, they're going to be like Phyrexian Mana. They're just going to do something where you're like, come on, really? You're going to double 2-for-1 me again? You know, and it's just finding that right pick of cards, you know? Baral's Expertise, drop Jace the Mind Sculptor. Oops. Well, Jace isn't ready yet, but maybe.
Yeah, I mean, even just like casting Yahini's Expertise into Colgan's Command. Like, how much value can you get from one card, you know?
Oh, that's just foul. And then the red one where you steal stuff, that's where I see like a lot of these like hyper aggressive decks just getting that, oh, you know, I got my Siege Rider out. No, you don't. You know, or I got my blogger out. Yeah, it's mine now. I'm going to smash it with you. And, you know, you're done. You're done, man.
You know me. I'm a strong proponent, a proprietor of Eldrazi Obligator, and have been since day one.
Yep. Well, Eldrazi, like, there is all kinds of very interesting stuff that we saw. Like, there's Eldrazi Tron. And then we saw, like, we called this what? In the very first episode of the show, saying that Walking Ballista should be in Tron and maybe in other decks. And people were like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, what? Walking Ballista is so good. It's just like, it's just value town, man. It is one of my, you know, not to jump ahead, but it's going to be one of my picks in Night 3 because that card is crazy. That card is crazy. And it does so much, and it's so easy to splash, and there's so many busted cards that interact with it that do unfair things. Modern is just always going to keep going. And maybe Modern Masters 2017, we're going to get a bunch of reprints. And I'm not sure who is on the fence of Modern that is going to go, wow, this card's $10 cheaper. I'm going to get into Modern now. So I don't think it's play. I don't think it's format growing. I think it's people just saying, I want 2 Modern or 3 Modern decks now, you know?
So. Yeah, or I want you as Wizards to prove to me that you still care that I exist.
Well, maybe that isn't even, in my humble opinion, it's not through making reprints. Oh my God, I know. That's controversial topic of the day. It isn't. Showing people that invested in the format by giving them reprints is not making them feel better. Giving it coverage is making me feel better. Showing that, like, you guys are promoting it on a monthly basis, you know, that makes me feel better. That makes me feel like I'm in a sport that's supported versus, you know, we're playing this great format that Wizards kind of every couple of years get some reprints. I don't know.
They like, it's like they're sweeping their toys under the rug until it becomes like too full, and then it eventually all just like spills out over the edges. Like, oh, what are you gonna do with all these Modern players? Nah, let's tuck them in the corner. The corner's getting pretty full, Bob. We're gonna get them another room. All right, open the door. Let them breathe.
Yeah. Or they just shove us in the backyard with Legacy. Go play with Legacy. Get out of here.
You know? Oh, I hate their sandbox.
Yeah. There's too much blue in here.
Yeah, there's just sandbox is filled with water.
Yeah, the sad thing is the Legacy is a pool, and, you know, Modern's a sandbox. It's like, here, go. I'm drowning.
And the shallow end of Legacy is just filled with sand, so it's just mud decks.
Yeah, there you go. That's awesome. That's so good. Oh, man. Okay, so let's talk about this. So there's one interesting theory that came up over the weekend, and I wanted to touch on this because I really think people are misinterpreting, like, the whole Magic Digital Next theory that's going on right now. And everyone assumes it's a new client and, you know, it's replacing Modo or whatever. And reading all these, like, future communiques that's coming out, and we saw Toy Fair and we saw some more snippets out from the president and the new guy in charge. And they use terminology like it's an umbrella term. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, I think Magic Digital Next, all it is a, it's like calling Maddie Studios. It's just a term that describes their entire digital side. That's all it is. And I know people are like, what? And I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. And the screenshots of air quotes Magic Digital Next that we're looking at is essentially just going to be Duels. It's just going to be an upgraded version of Duels. That's really what I think is going to happen. That we're going to get a full rules engine Duels, and that's going to be like the client you play until you get to Magic Online. And then they're going to run both parallel for a while, and then probably going to reassess in a couple of years and see, like, do we combine them or do we not? And they're probably going to come to the conclusion that you don't, because the player profile of each one of those persons is just so different that you're never going to get them to play the same thing. And there's too many whales in the MTGO side that they're not going to lose that money. So that's my opinion. I think that's what they're doing. Because they talk a lot about, like, upgrading servers and upgrading state-of-the-art technology for, you know, your WPN number and your play points and your planeswalker points and all this. And that's cool. Like, hearing some of the stuff that we could – imagine we go into an FNM and our phone has an app, and boom, it knows we registered for the event. It tells us our pairings. Like, if they – that's the kind of stuff I think that would make a huge impact of running GPs and things like that. That's very cool, you know? And maybe you get, like, a little thing. Like, hey, you got, I don't know, Frankie Richards will be the one who gets all the play points. But, you know, he's like, oh, you got a free digital pack on Magic Duels. You know, go check it out because, you know, you won some points. That's cool. That's neat integration, I think. You know, it's about time, Wizards, in general. As your play experience, you know, we start to have more integration between the two. But I don't think we're getting a new Magic Online client, people. I just don't. But I know I'm the only one that cares about this in this conversation, but that's my take on that one. So Tony doesn't care all about Magic Online.
No, so okay, so in Japan at Haruya, The way that you sign up for their events is you walk up to an iPad and you punch in your DCI number and it like puts you into your flight and event. And then it's like, you're playing over here. Good job. Congratulations. You're in a Magic tournament.
That's cool. How do we get that? How do we get Face to have something like that? Because that sounds awesome.
I have a play space for 300. No, but seriously. The interesting thing of that is, like, that's already been, like, worked on. So what I want to see for Magic Digital next is, like, an interface where we can interact with what's going on for coverage. So we could, like, maybe click on a card ourselves and, like, highlight it and get to see rules text on it or things like that. And then actually, James Chilcott, MGG Critic on Twitter, follow him if you haven't, was talking to me yesterday and said, you know, what about the concept of all feature matches being moved from on paper with the super obnoxious glare and all that stuff to a completely digital version that, again, we as consumers could interact with as it was going on. We could, you know, pause it like live TV. We could rewind. We could listen to the audio on the floor. We could listen to the audio commentary. We could listen to user-submitted commentary. Like, all these super crazy options that are just totally, totally possible. It's just all of these things are completely doable and reasonable.
I mean, I love where you're going with that. That sounds really cool if they allowed access to the API of that, where, you know, you log on into the app and you're watching essentially a broadcast of the gameplay via the rules engine. It's just spitting out what's happening and you're listening to an audio track from the Pro Tour. But if you wanted to, you could cycle over to Brian Kibler's audio or Maddie and Tony's. Yeah, and you could hear us talk. I mean, that would be that. What if the game is doing that? Like, those are great ideas. That's pushing the boundary. I would love to see that. I think, though, that the pros, and we saw this come up on the weekend, they don't like that idea, or some of them don't, because they feel like then they're not the focus of the match. And I know the pros want to sell the pro story, the human angle, you know? Whereas Wizards is more like, we want to sell the card angle, right? We want you to buy the card. We don't care who's playing it. So it's interesting. I think that maybe a bit of both would be cool. Maybe top 8 is in digital only.
Right.
I'm not sure. Like, that's really cool. I think you might get a lot of people watching and get confused. Like, why did they suddenly go to digital? Like, what happened there? But, you know, I'm not sure. They might want to run their own separate thing, right? Like, maybe they'll say, hey, Magic Digital next or whatever it is. It's its own series. Maybe they just run it like every month and they do coverage just like that.
Right.
And then the Pro Tour is kept more just about the people, which, again, I'm open to anything. Anything that is growing the game is good. That's just great, right? You know, it's a journey, man. Not everything's going to stay the same forever, and maybe the stuff I like now is going to be gone. But who cares? We got to move forward, get new kids, get the next generation, you know, really involved. And I hope Wizards really starts to realize and reward people who are bringing the next generation up. And I know they had that thing like, hey, bring a friend Friday Night Magic,
yeah,
and get a reward, which is very good. I love it. Great idea. You know, but I think we need to take that to the next level, you know, and really, like, pull out the people that are, like, the cheerleaders. Like, the people that get 10 people into the game every month. And, like, really reward those people. Like, really, really reward them. Because those are the people that are providing a positive attitude and growing your game. You know, we need something for those people. That's my opinion. And maybe we need the opposite for some of the negative people out there that just crap on everything that comes out, like certain garbage water people we know online that just want to see certain formats fail no matter what. And I just don't understand that. But, you know, positivity and Magic is, like, really important. And the people who make the cards should just make sure that the people that are helping get rewarded. That's just common sense, but.
Yeah, I mean, like, you bring someone to Magic for 8 weeks in a row and you get one land. It's great.
Yeah, well, is it? I mean, like, one last... I don't know if that was a troll or not, but it felt like... I mean, I get it. That's great, in air quotes. But it could be better. It could be better, right?
Right.
Like, how about a free box of cards? Like, you know, hey, come on, man. But let's jump into our new segment because it's getting about that time. But this segment is huge, people, so relax. The concept of the segment is called Hype 3, where me and Tony each pick three cards that we are hyped about. Now, hype in air quotes is a generality term, but it's done to promote discussion. So maybe it's a card in a deck about, maybe it's a card you're thinking about adding to a current deck or you want to brew around, or maybe just a spoiler card you're like, this card has potential, let's talk about it. So let's start. Pick one. Hype 3 for you. What do you got?
All right, well, mine. I'm going to be boring this week because these are just the cards that I've actually fallen in love with, so I'm going to pick Saheeli Ray.
Oh, wow. The sound effects for boos is too loud right now. I can't.
Yeah, boo, boo. It's just a bunch of cats. Meow, meow, meow.
Hey, Saheeli Rai is cool. You know what? Look, Saheeli Rai is one of those cards that I think has so much potential, and it has a lot of like interesting things you can do with it. So it's not just a boring old card. Yes, it has a, you know, standard is full of cats right now, but tell me about it. Like, why are we hyped? What has got you hyped about it?
So one of the things that I like using Saheeli Rai for that a lot of people forget, aside from winning the game, because that's also really cool, one of my favorite things to do, is using it as a 3-mana clone with haste effect that a lot of people forget about. You know, so we saw when Daniel Fournier was on coverage for his GP Top 8, there were a lot of turns where he would just go turn 6, slam a Gear Hulk, and then in standard he was casting, like, Glimmer of Genius. So you could draw a couple cards or whatever. And that was cool, and the opponent would be like, all right, well, that resolves, whatever. But then what would happen is he would untap, play Saheeli Rai, copy the Gear Hulk, play another Saheeli Rai, copy the Gear Hulk again, attack for 15.
Yeah, and that is, like, one of those secret modes of, I can end the game really fast if I want to, right? Like, if I don't draw the cat, I'm doing it another way, which is awesome. And I think that card has got much more potential than just standard Frontier play.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been playing it in Modern with a round of broken shell of Modern cards where I'm playing Blood Moon and Simeon Spirit Guide and Spreading Seas and things like that. And I've definitely had games where I went turn 1 Saheeli Rai, like turn 2 Blood Moon.
Oh my god, I don't even, that just sounds already the most impressive thing ever. Like,
yeah, so like, yeah, it's a 20 turn clock. I'm eventually going to find the cat and win. That's the plan. But like, Saheeli Rai will just kill you, and her plus is a perfect way to fight something like a Liliana, even of the Veil, or Liliana of the Last Hope, where you just get to keep on, fighting the Planeswalkers with your Planeswalker. Yours ticks up and theirs ticks down. It's like pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, and that's a secret mode that like people don't really realize a lot. That, you know, redirect to the Planeswalker really, man, it keeps a certain bunch of cards in check, and I love that about that. So that's pretty awesome. So my hype pick number one is something that I've been very, very interested in since I finally got my foil Walking Ballistas. I love this card, and I think it has got a lot of potential, and it is encouraging my pick. And my pick is Rite of Passage. I tweeted about this in the weekend, and it is a green card from way in the day, original Mirrodin, and it is an enchantment. And it basically, for 3 mana, you slam this enchantment down, and anytime a creature's dealt damage, it gets a counter. I think it's a creature you control. It gets damage, it gets a counter. So you can already see where the potential here is. If I have any buff effect, so a Scales or a Snake out with a Ballista, when I go to ping the Ballista, it gets a counter. And then I have an extra counter to shoot the opponent. And you can go off. Now, there's a few things I learned when we started to brew with this and see if it could work. While it is possible to go off very quickly, the damage does stack on the Ballista. So even though you're getting the counter, you need to have 2 buff effects to keep it alive. So it's kind of tricky. The other thing, though, that you can do is if you have a way to grant it indestructibility, you don't care about any of that.
Yep.
And all you really need to do is have 1 buff effect. So Scales, Ballista, your Rite of Passage, and then anything like Heroic Intervention, Built to Last. There's a couple of cards that give indestructibility.
Oh, Boros Charm, if we're going so far as Modern. Right? There's lots of ways.
Boros Charm, yeah. And then you can just go off that turn, ping, 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 and you win. It is a clunky thing. Yes, I agree. You know, it's not the best. But what's really interesting in it is that while I was playing the deck in Modern queues, many, many times I would have it sitting on the board and the opponent doesn't really know what to do. So that was cool because it's new. But they also started to realize the synergy. But what they didn't realize is I would at the end of turn shoot my Hangerback Walker. Oh, why'd you do that? Oh, I just put a counter on it. Oh, well, there's a scales up. That's two counters. So in multiple games, I won with like a 10-10 Hangerback Walker. Just bashing them in the face. And I just ignored
just a giant
going
guy,
on.
Yeah.
So what's very interesting, I wouldn't play more than two. And I think right now I'm working with like, Emnar, Brandon, and Jar Manning on Twitter, Josh. And there's a bunch of us are trying to work on like what the correct black-green, I don't know what you want to call it, counter go robots, whatever kind of shell you want to work around. But there is definitely so much going on there. And that Rite of Passage card is like 50 cents online right now. It was. I shouldn't have tweeted it. Sorry, yeah. Guys. It sold out on Star City. But over the long term, counters in general are just something I'm hyped about in general. It's like humans, right? Like, you know, Wizards can't resist. Counters is just too evergreen now. You know, they're always doing it. So it just takes that one card. That one card with the wrong line of text on it, you know, that allows us to do something a turn earlier. And this is like definitely a turn three engine that can go off. So it's something that is not there yet, but it is getting there. So that's my hype one, man. What's your hype two?
All right, my hype two, we'll go over this quickly, is Walking Ballista, because we did these independent of each other. and mine are very similar to your reasons, but I actually got to experience what Abzan's and Black Green Scales looks like in Frontier over the weekend. And Walking Ballista is just like it's just everything that you want to be doing. It combos with Rishkar, it combos with Nissa to get more counters. Like, you don't even
kills Ink Moth Nexus.
You don't even need to put a Verdurst Gearhulk in your deck to like jam four more counters on it. It just doesn't matter. And eventually, once you get to the Rishkar stage of the game, you then get to just start tapping your creatures for more counters. It's just absolutely absurd. So this again, I won't talk about it too much, but Walking Ballista pairing, you know, between Managorger Hydra and Avatar the Resolute. There's just like so many other good aggressively costed +1 counter creatures that having reach now in any color is just absolutely great.
Yeah. Now there's a lot of cards. There's a couple people working on, and another like Grobots list went 5-0 in a Modern League, and you know we're seeing cards like Bioshift. Now people are like, what? Right. Yes, that's a hybrid card from Gatewatch. It's one green or blue, which is perfect. It's an instant. And it's move any number of 1/1 counters from target creature onto another. Right? So that's insane. Not only is it like, oh, you go to target my Ballista, I'll move my counters over to my Hangerback. Oh, we've got a scales out. Now I get more. Or you can split, right? Or you can just like save a creature or buff a creature, right? Like in response to a bolt, oh, let's move on one more counter.
Right.
So, like, that card is, like, crazy. There's so many crazy little tricks going on right now. And the other mechanic that you want to keep in mind when you're, like, looking at any type of the Grobots list is, like, Graft. And Graft is, like, really cool. There's, like, Simic Initiate, which is one of the original Graft guys, 1-mana 1 or 1-mana 0/0, but he comes in with Graft 1. And Graft allows you to bounce your counters around, which is really important with the scales out, or any buff effect, right? Scales or snake plus anything you're bouncing is double or triple.
Sure,
and that's when things get broken, because a lot of people look initially at all of these lists and are like, that's not a powerful card when I have Goyf. And, you know, we laugh because we're like, Goyf is going to be outclassed in no time. Like,
sure is.
Like, whatever, dude. You know, yeah, wear and tear exists. That card is not good against us. And I've had my stuff wear and tear and hanger back and Snapcaster, and it sucks. But, you know, you got to have those cards, right? You got to have your cards. You got to draw your cards, right, to interact. So Let's go to number two now. My number two hype pick is, again, still in this vein of interesting things we can do with Walking Ballista, but Machias the Unhallowed is an interesting card. Not only is it a 6-mana legendary like guy that has two very interesting things, which is his claws say that all your creatures get undying, and then all your non-human creatures get +1/+1. So you can do some tricks with Walking Ballista where you can, again, you can shoot a counter off Ballista, ping your opponent, it gets undying, comes back with a counter, and you can keep doing that. And that's really interesting. Now, there's a couple of tricks you got to do with it, because if you have a scales out, it doesn't die. So you got to, it's a little tricky and it's a little big, Again, it's not something I don't even know if Micheus is worth bringing out in a modern shell, because it's very hard to get Micheus out. Maybe in a cord shell, I don't know. But I don't know. It's a cute card. It's got nice interaction, but I think it's too slow for modern and what you want to be doing unless you can cheat it. But
well, I don't know. I mean, 6 mana is a lot, but you're definitely just playing like a mono black deck or like a black X deck. So you can just kill all the things.
Yeah, we could. We could just end up going with like an Undying. But you really want a buff effect, right? Because the buff effect with, like, I was looking at, like, Stranglerud Geist, even trying to work that card in a super aggressive, like, Grobot strategy where it's, like, you know, turn one. Yeah, and this goes back to the original 1.5 version of Green Machine when we tried to fit scales in it the first time. And it just didn't have enough of the other effects, right? But Hardened Scales and Stranglerud already is pretty gas, man.
You know, yeah, it sure is.
Right, they don't want to kill it, and once they don't want to kill it, is great, because then you're like, okay, sweet, I'll just keep bashing you, right? But if you if you keep backing it up with more and more power, that's when it's just like, ugh, gross.
Yeah. Right?
What do I do?
Yep. Nissa is a very, very good card.
Now, okay, hit me with your third. What do we got?
Because I like this one. My third one is a little more of a fun card. I even like to call it the party squid, if you will.
He's not a party squid.
He likes to party.
He does. He likes to tap everything.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that guy just shows up to the party and taps everything.
he walks in with like a tuxedo on, a cigarette hanging out.
He's like, yeah, and he's like, eight ladies, come join me.
Any ladies here? Where's the ladies at?
I'm here to tap everything.
Elder Deep Fiend. What have we got?
Elder Deep Fiend is our jam of the night. So the reason I like this card is because in Standard, it's actually the backbone of multiple decks. So we have, Blue-Red Reanimator, where it's using it to leverage Kozilek's Return after discarding a bunch of cards to the graveyard, reanimating stuff like that. It's a pretty important part in the four-color Saheeli deck, being able to tap down your opponent's lands before you untap and try and combo off. Super, super good, as well as getting to play awesome cards like Rogue Refiner and Whirler Virtuoso in Standard. Very, very good cards.
Yep.
As well as being, obviously, the namesake card in the four-color Emerge deck, which is also a super, super fun deck to play. So
a lot of people forgot that deck, like, existed. They, you know, and I don't know what its matchup is against, like, Vehicles and Snake and everything, but it's still out there. It still does work. You know?
Yeah, it's still a 5/6 for, you know, 4 mana with Flash that taps down all your opponent's stuff. But I think what really sold me on Elder Deep Fiend was when I started playing it in Legacy, and it was just still a completely playable card in Legacy. I have an 8 mana spell in my hand, but I can cast it on turn 2 or turn 3, and you can eventually chain Deep Fiends to just lock your opponents out of the game in a format old as Legacy.
Is this the Eldrazi deck that you're playing it in?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what shell is this in the deck? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's got to be the Eldrazi shell.
Yeah, I mean, when you have cards in a format that you have access to, like Mox Diamond and Eye of Ugin and Eldrazi Temple and things like that, as well as City of Traders Ancient Tomb, there's definitely ways where you can go turn one Mattery Shaper, turn two Emerge my Elder Deep Fiend.
Oh, that's foul right there.
Yeah, wow. You know, it's still... it's still, like, pretty like, devastating as a cast trigger against cards like Miracles. They can still counter it, but Elder Deep Fiend has just been one of my favorite cards since it was spoiled. Not close.
Okay. Now, my third one is a bit of a combination, because there's a card in Cons. Was it Cons or Dragons? I can't remember which one. It's called Retribution of the Ancients, and it's essentially the anti... Well, it's, like, the opposite side of a coin of Hardened Scales. So it's basically a 1-mana black, and I can remove a counter, and I can basically deal 1 damage to any creature. So I've played with this card a lot, and it is a very interesting card. You have to play a very heavy counter version of green-black counters, but when you can do that, you can cut removal. So I don't need to run 4 pushes. Maybe I run a 2-2 split. And the idea is it's repeatable removal. And against Infect, like, I had games where I was playing against Infect and they're like, animate an ink moth. And I'm like, okay, deal one. Oh, well, respond. And I'm like, deal one. Respond, deal one. Respond, deal one. It's dead.
Yep.
So, like, so basically I didn't trade anything but a couple of counters on my creatures. And I took 5 cards out of their hand and killed their ink moth next. Like, it's a very interesting card. It is... in the wrong draw, it sucks, right? Like, you know, you're like, oh, top deck this late. You're like, well, I can shoot something or not. Or, you know, you get it on a board where all your stuff already got killed. It's kind of not the best, but it's just really interesting. And it's a card, like, I always keep my eye on, and I'm not sure if it goes in or out or it sits on the side. But against any of the, like, the aggressive aggro strategies, like the new, what is it, the new Burning Tree deck where it's, like, what, 16 tutus or something out on turn two or something.
Yeah, like 80 power or something.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Burning Tree into the new guy, into the Burning Tree. That deck's actually really explosive. That's crazy. We'll talk about that in another cast. But, like, it does good work. And the other card I wanted to talk about is an M15 card called Eternal Thirst. And this is an enchantment. It's black and one. And it basically has, it allows your creature to have lifelink. And then when a creature dies that is killed by the opponent, it gets a counter. Now, what's crazy about this is you throw this on a Walking Ballista and you have any buff effect out, I can kill a creature, get two counters, use those counters to kill another creature, get two. You can board wipe anything with that.
Sure can.
And that is machine gun. I don't know what we call, maybe we call that Uzi Ballista, but that's,
yeah.
Whoo, that is just crazy when you're like, oh yeah, okay, now, you know, your board's dead. Now I'm attacking. So really cool. And then you can also use it to shoot other things and grow your own ballista for like a big attack swing and then shoot all your counters at the opponent. So those are kind of like our hype threes. We, every couple of weeks, because we won't do this every week because it's a big segment, but we want to hear your hype threes, what you're excited about. They can be any format. It's just cards that you're excited about, and let us know how and why you're excited about it, because that helps other brewers and other people, like, let us know, like, what cards are really cool out there that we might not know about. I know we had a couple of DMs here. Honorary mention was Basilisk Caller.
Yep, that card, that's a great one.
That card is really good with Walking Ballista, by the way.
It's also like $20 now.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't want to mention it, because it did spike and it, you know, it got expensive. But I think it's going to come down. It's, that card, again, is, with equipment in general, I've always been disappointed, unless it's you're playing Hexproof, because you go to equip your guy and they kill it and you just, oh, it's such bad tempo, right?
Yep.
So, you know, unless you're playing like a Hexproof deck, it's hard. If it's just a value thing, you're playing a one-up, that's cool. Or you have some ability to use it, I think it's great. In a more casual environment, it's fun. It's really fun, right? But, like, you know, if you're at a GP or something, or you're trying to beat down, I don't know.
Yeah, like, if you're sitting at the kitchen table, and you're just playing with, like, your grandma and, like, your cousins, you should definitely put Basilisk Caller on Walking Ballista. That will be fun.
Well, grandma knows how to play Magic, so don't watch out, man. Grandma will shut you down with her elf deck.
Yeah.
but what we were going to say is, so it hit us with your hype threes, but here's how we want you to do it. You can hit us on Twitter, and that's cool, and we can interact there, and that's awesome. But we really want you to comment on the Mana Deprived. So if you can comment with your hype three on our episode page, we have something for you. So we're going to pick, every time we do hype three, we're going to pick one of our favorite viewer submissions, and we're going to send you our brand new Hype Club stickers.
Club stickers.
Whoop, Hype Club stickers are a thing. We've got them. They're coming in. We're probably going to just use them as like a reward tool for you guys. We'll send them out when, you know, someone does something awesome.
Good job. Have a cookie.
Yeah. Good job. Have a cookie. But they're really cool. As soon as I get them in, I'm going to tweet a bunch of pics, and we might have a couple available face-to-face. You never know. If you walk in, you might get one. But for everyone who's asking, merchandise updates, shirts are being printed. Stay tuned. Again, we're in order. They do a lot of shirt printing. We got to take our time and get in the queue. So everything's going to plan. Just be patient. Playmats, Tony, where are we at with those?
I'm literally waiting for them to be delivered today as we speak.
Oh, wow. There you go. So check Twitter, check out pics. And yep. We'll have more detailed information next week, probably exactly where you can get them. But the rough thing is, we're going to what? Ship them out of face, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. We'll figure it once we get them, and then we'll do some pre-orders and see if we can get them shipped to people that can't come into the store to get them.
Yeah, and, like, don't worry, guys. I know a lot of you are disappointed. Like, oh, if we don't live in Toronto, we don't get nothing. No. We're working on it. We're trying. But I think what it'll be is we'll have them there. And, again, everything we do is limited. So with the playmats, we make 75 of each art. They are all numbered. And once we're out, we're out, and we don't make them again. So trying to be a little bit exclusive here and, you know, I don't know, make things special. I think that's kind of important because, you know, hype is special, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. We'll delete the file after a while. It'll just be gone.
Yeah, we'll probably lose it.
That's true. Yeah, I've seen your organizational system.
Yeah, it's not like it's totally amazing or anything,
right? It's literally an actual filing cabinet with just a bunch of scrap papers with crayon drawings crammed into them. And Maddie's like, look, my work.
Yeah, that's my portfolio page. That's why clients come on over and check it out, man.
Yeah, just check out these drawings I have magneted up on the fridge. It's really good.
I just pull up my wife's lipstick and start drawing on the window.
There's just bags of dog food everywhere.
Where did the dogs come from?
There's dog food and snowboards all over your house.
What the? Oh my god, I've got to be at least one skateboard. But one, at least, come on.
Yeah, you're holding Rico's for now. He can't.
Oh, yeah. Poor Rico. Hey, man, good luck, Rico. We'll get there, man. Don't worry.
We'll have to do a Bionicle Man episode for Rico.
Oh, done. It's Canadian money, so it's, you know, $6,000 Canadian dollars.
Yeah, it's $600 billion dollar man.
And drinking a Tim Hortons faster than anyone, right?
Oh, you betcha.
Oh, my God. Oh, you betcha there, boy. You betcha, boss. You betcha, boss. Oh, my God.
All right, we're starting to lose it.
We lasted long ago, but hype out, because it's hype out, that's why. I have no other reason. I totally missed. I set up the ending. I'm here, but not here. Two worlds meet up. Heads in the clouds as the streets start to Wipe Out. I don't even know. That's like a Ryan Seacrest thing. I gotta, what the hell is that? That's so stupid. Oh my God, Ryan, I hate you. No.
Well, he's got a face for radio.
He's got a face for porn, man. What are you talking about? I'm just kidding.
He's got a face for prison.
Well, we do sell soap, so I don't know, buddy.
Here, Ryan, hold Seacrest. On to this. It'll be the Ryan Seacrest edition of soap. It comes on a rope.
Oh, don't drop it, dope.
Yeah, right.
That's all right. Oh man, all right. Well, that was good. That was good. That was a good episode, man.